Let's begin shir number ches. Ches, wow, this shir is lamala min ha-teva, not stam. Unbelievable. Ches, here we go. Zog di gemara, we're ready for a new gemara. Zog di gemara weiter, let's begin. If you didn't see it clearly inside yet this morning, let's do it together inside now. Zog di gemara chatzera. The Mishnah says if the guy throws the get into her chatzer, it's migureshes. Zog di gemara chatzera. Her chatzer. I don't understand. Why should it be migureshes? Ma shekonti isha kona baila. What a woman is koina, her husband is koina. How could she be migureshes? She should not be migureshes. The husband is koina whatever she is koina. And therefore, she should not be migureshes. She was never koina to get. Like many of you were bothered this morning, this is b'atzim a question which undermines every single gerushin. Because every single gerushin is a situation of a married woman trying to be koina a get, and it doesn't work. What a woman acquires, her husband really is kona. And therefore, Zog di Gemara, we don't understand the din of the Mishnah. Comes Avi with a beautiful chakira. Zog to Avi like this. This din, that mashakanti isha kona baila, what a woman acquires, really her husband acquires, you could clara chakira about how it works. Is the pshat that whatever she acquires it, and then the Torah takes it away from her and gives it to her husband? Is that the pshat? It's like a two-step process. Or is the pshat, no, that the pshat is that really she doesn't acquire it b'chlal, it skips over her. The chiddush of this din is that it skips over, it goes straight to him. It's a very nice chakira in this din, mashakanti shekana baila. Is the pshat that it gets taken away from her? Or is the pshat that it skips over? Is it a two-step process or a one-step process? Beautiful chakira. Maybe from our Gemara, we have a raya to one of the two tzadim of the chakira. Because why? Because if I say it's a two-step process, so then why would the Gemara say that it shouldn't be a good gerushin? L'chaira, she's kind at first. At that moment, she should become divorced. And then it won't go to the husband afterwards. But if I say that it skips over her, not that it taken away from her, but rather it skips over her, it's a one-step process, goes straight to the husband. So then I understand the Gemara's question very nicely. L'chayra, this Gemara here, is a raya to this tzad of the chakir, that the way Mashakan Tzishakana Baila works, is the pshat is that it goes straight to the husband, it bypasses her legamri. That's what Avi wants to add. A very nice point to me, what are you saying to?
No, I didn't really. What do we know that Mashakan?
Good question. Beis Hashem, we're going to talk about it in the Hamshach. Okay, the Ritzvah brings it up. We're going to talk about it, Beis Hashem. And maybe even tomorrow already. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Shekol Nami Bar.
Amen.
Malkiel, thank you for the water.
Could I explain how it's a two-step process?
The two-step process would be that, let's say, she is Kona something. Then the Torah takes, or the Chazal, whatever this din is, Machakan Tzisha, Kona Baila, take it away from her, halachically, legally, and give it, oh, they transfer it over to the husband. That would be a two-step process. It's she's kona, and then it's taken away from her and given to the husband. Or the one-step process is that, no, it never goes to her in the first place. It just goes directly to the husband. This din is mechadesh, that the way anything that's given to her ends up coming about, the legal process of the transaction comes about, that it just skips over her legamri and goes straight to the husband. So l'chayra, this Gemara's question is a raya to say like that tzad, like the second tzad, that it goes directly to the husband. Very nice point, Avi. Beautiful. Okay?
And so, wait, with that, what happens since it just skips over to the husband?
So that's why she wouldn't be divorced if they give her the get, because she's never koneh it. Okay? Very nice. So what the Gemara seems to be saying is that she should not be able to get divorced, because she is not going to be able to acquire the get. The husband is always going to be able to be the one that's acquiring the get. So how could it be that the Mishnah says Migureshes? It's a very powerful question on the Mishnah, a very solid question on the Mishnah. Zakti Gemara, Amar Rabbi Lazar and Chanami, we're talking about a very specific case. What's the case? Because law din udvarim ein li b'nachsayich. He's writing to her that I don't have any din udvarim. I don't have any sheiches, any legal sheiches b'chalal, to your nechasim. And since he writes that to her, so essentially what he's doing is, he's making it that he will not be koine, whatever she is koine. So, in other words, the Gemara is batsim saying the question is taka, a very solid kasha, very powerful. We don't really have any answer at all. And therefore we have to make an ukimta that we're talking about a case where he wrote specifically that he is not going to have this schos to be kona, whatever comes her way. Very powerful question. The answer is a little bit dochik, because it comes out that really the only scenario that the din of the Mishnah is true is when he writes this. If he doesn't write this, so then the din is Eina Megureshes, which is an incredible chiddush, a tremendous ukimta, which the Gemara is going to deal with in the Hemshech Bezves Hashem. But for now, let's take a moment and analyze and appreciate the Gemara's question before we get deeper into the answer. What is the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question seems to be very obvious. The Gemara's question seems to be a very straightforward point, that she cannot be koina the get because the husband is koina the get. The husband's koina. So there's no divorce if she's not being koina. The husband's being koina. Very straightforward question. So straightforward that we might not even need Rashi to help us on this question. Let's take a look. There is a Rashi. What does Rashi say? Kana baila, the husband is koine, zukt Rashi. Lipeiros, lihishtamish ba. He's koine, whatever the woman is koine, the husband is koine, lipeiros, for the income that's generated, lihishtamish ba, to be able to use it. Ba'akati lo nafiget miyadi debal. And the get is not yet left the hands of the husband. So we have a situation where Rashi is explaining to us that kana baila means leperis lishtamish ba, for peris to be able to use it. And memela, as a result of that, is akati lo naviget miyade debal. Does Rashi make this Gemara better? Or in a sense, does Rashi make this Gemara even more confusing? Weren't we straight? Weren't we very good? Weren't we very clear with the Gemara until Rashi came along?
Yeah.
This Rashi, not only is it hard to understand exactly what he's trying to tell us, but it sounds like he's pushed confusing the matters. What's he talking about? Leperis lishtamish ba, the get hasn't left his hand. What's he talking about? That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says he gave the get to the woman. The problem is that she's not koine. He's koine whatever she's koine. What's happening here in this Rashi? It's something which needs a little bit of hesber. In order to be able to understand this, let's first realize that the step number one that's in this Rashi is that Rashi tells us kana baila. What does kana baila mean? Kana baila means that he is koine leperus, says Rashi, lishtamishba, for perus, for the income. Remember, Rashi in the Mishnah told us we're talking about Nechsei Malug. The Chatzar is a Chatzar that the Guf HaChatzar belongs to her, but the husband is the one that gets the income from this Chatzar. So now let's talk about the Chatzar for a second. She owns the physical property of the Chatzar, right? He is the one that gets the income from the Chatzar. If somebody was walking by and happened to drop a can of Coke in the Chatzar, now don't open it, it's going to spray everywhere. But Lamaisa, who owns the can of Coke? The husband, who is the one who's getting the payrus of this chatzar, or the wife, who owns the gufa chatzar, who owns this can of Coke?
According to Rambam, it's the wife.
What do we have so far here in Rashi and Argama? What do we have?
Here.
What would you say? L'chairu, who would own the can of Coke?
I would say her. He owns the...
He owns the payrus. The payrus is the income. Whatever this property generates. Is this called income?
No.
Is this called
Coke? I wouldn't
no?
say so.
When what is called the gufa ha chatzar, and what's called the income of the chatzar?
That comes out of the chatzar, not stuff coming into the chatzar.
How did she acquire
okay,
this?
Okay, so that's the discussion. So you guys want to tell it like this. Very good. You guys are tiny. Who owns the physical property of the chatzer? Whoever owns the physical property of the chatzer, that's the one that's going to be koineh, whatever it is going to fall into it. Why? Because that's not called income. That's called zchus of owning the physical property. That's not called peiros. What would be an example of peiros? Example of peiros would be that something that comes from itself, something that comes out of itself. So according to what you guys are tiny,
so
let me make sure. Well, not necessarily all matzav long term, but the nukud is that something that falls into it, a metzia that falls into it, she is going to be koneh. That's what you guys are tiny. I'm not saying this is true or false. I'm just saying this is what you guys are saying.
That's what I would assume.
So according to what you guys are saying, l'chayra, it should follow that if he gives her the get into her chatzer, which she owns the gufa chatzer, but he owns the payrus of the chatzer, who is koneh this get?
Her.
She is. She's koneh the get.
It wasn't a product of the field.
So therefore, what's the Gemara's question?
Why does it matter to begin with?
The Gemara has a bad question.
She owns the physical field, so if it ends up in her field, then it should be hers to begin with.
So the Gemara's question is a bad question.
It's irrelevant.
We don't understand the question.
It's irrelevant.
The Gemara's shver.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe just this case, it's his product, his thing, his chatzer.
It's not. We're talking about her chatzer.
We just defined.
Talking about her chatzer. We're talking about the Zibalot. Rashi on the first line of the Mishnah. Chatzeira, right. Lashon Chatzeira means her chatzer.
Same case?
Yeah, we're talking about the Mishnah. So the Gemara is extremely difficult according to what you guys are saying. So let's present another possibility and try to make sense out of this Gemara. Maybe we can say it like this. Yeah?
Can't we just like redefine Paris in a way?
Oh, very good. We have Kiel on the money, right? See that? So, Zagd Malkiel, we have to redefine Peiros. Peiros doesn't necessarily have to be limited to whatever grows from this chatzer. Peiros maybe could mean any gain that comes about through this chatzer, including a metzia that ends up in the chatzer, a can of Coke that ends up in this chatzer. That would also be included in Peiros. It is something that came about, an increase in the bank account that came about through this chatzer. So maybe that would be included in Peiros. If we say that, so then we could explain the Gemara's question very well. What's the Gemara's question? She owns the gufa chatzer, the physical field itself, the physical yard itself. He owns the benefit that comes from the chatzer. Acquisition of this can of Coke would be categorized as a benefit from the chatzer. So who's going to be the one to acquire the can of Coke? He is. If he's the one who's going to acquire the can of Coke, because that's included in the peiros, that's his chus, so who is going to be the one to acquire the get when the get is placed in the chatzer? He is. Which, l'chaira, is exactly the Gemara's kasha. That's what the Gemara is asking, and that's what Rashi is explaining when Rashi says, Kona baila leperus lishtamishba, that the husband is kone, the field, the husband has a schus in the field, leperus, to be able to acquire anything that comes about from this field, because he has that right to use the field, and therefore it comes out that he owns the get. That would be how to read the Gemara's question, alpi what Malkiel is explaining, alpi the Rashi. It comes out very, very solid, very clear.
Are we sure about that definition of peiros? Even I'm saying through how the Gemara is reading, are we sure that like, there's no other way of reading peiros even without the...
I'm not saying no other way. I'm just saying that this way it comes out very good, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's a logical thing. Peiros means something that is added on, something that's coming from this thing. The acquisition of a metzia that comes about through my chatzer, we could view that. It makes sense to view that as a gain that comes from my chatzer. Even though it's not necessarily growing from my chatzer, but it is coming about through my chatzer, right. It could also be included in this definition of peiros.
So all the chatzer is doing is just being used as a way to make an acquisition.
Correct.
It's like a very shvacha.
Correct. But it is still something that's coming from the chatzer. Okay? Now, this is a mahalach in explaining the Gemara. It's a mahalach in explaining Rashi. However, I want to just bring to our attention a ha'ara in Rashi, maybe two ha'aras in Rashi, and then we'll raise another question that comes from this. Hara number one in Rashi is that according to what we're saying now, what are the words leperos referring to? Kona baila leperos. What is the husband kona leperos? What are we saying right now at this point? It means the husband is kona the chutzer for the peiros, which would be anything that comes about from the chutzer.
Maybe it's referring to kona baila. He's saying kona baila leperos. It refers to the peiros.
Right, and achanami. The husband is kona
the peiros.
What is liperis? Liperis means for peiros. He's kona something for the peiros, right? What is he kona for peiros?
The word, read it as kona baila. What does that mean? It means liperis, not kona.
Yeah, but what does the letter lamed tell you?
Four.
So what's the four? What is he kona for peiros? What is he being kona for peiros?
Maybe Rashi is not, it's not a read through Rashi.
Even if it's not a read through Rashi, but the word for peiros, what is for peiros?
The word kana is for peiros.
The woman.
What is he being kona for peiros?
For peiros.
What is he being kona for peiros?
You're saying the word kana means live peiros. It's referring
peiros to. Peiros come from something, right?
From the field.
So he's being kona in the field for peiros. That's what I'm saying, right? That kona baila means that kona baila liperos means the husband is kona the chutzer, the field or whatever it is, for its peiros, right? That's what it means.
There's two issues.
You're not saying otherwise of what I'm saying. You're saying the exact same thing. You just think that I'm putting the word kona baila for liperos. Forget about it.
He's
not going to the field. The peiros of the field.
Right.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But it's referring to the field.
Maybe
okay? One second. Before we get into other options, I want to just make sure what we have clear so far. Okay? It's referring to the field, the chotzer, he's being kona that for peiros. That's how to read the Rashi. Kona bailo, le peiros. The chotzer for the peiros, lish damage, but to use it.
In this example,
that's our number one.
In this example, it would be chotzer, but it could be bias, it could be something.
Right, exactly. Correct. Anything else? He's kona that thing for the peiros. That's number one. Okay? And because of that, what's happening is that we're saying that he's the one that's being kona the get, because that is the peiros of the field. The peiros of the field is the acquisitions that come about from the field. That's how to read this Rashi. And Memela, what are the next words? Vakati lo navi get miyada debal. The get hasn't yet left the husband's hands. The pshatin that is, why hasn't it left the husband's hands?
It was just to begin with.
Because it was his, and he's being kona.
Yeah.
He's being kona what he's giving to her, so therefore it comes out that it didn't really leave his hands, because he tried to give it to her, but did it work? It didn't work. He tried to give it to her, but who was kona? He was kona. So what he did was, he took it out of one pocket, and he put it into his other pocket. That's essentially what happened. So it comes out that, what's Rashi telling you? Rashi's telling you that she is not kona, he's kona it from himself. And how does Rashi say that? By saying that the get hasn't yet left the husband's hands. These are two things to appreciate in the Rashi, and I want to raise Hara, because if I was writing Rashi, I would l'chaira write it a little bit differently. I would write that the husband is kona it, she's not kona it. He's giving her the get, and he's kona it. Why is it important for Rashi to emphasize the idea that it hasn't yet left the husband's hands? That's l'chaira not the most direct way to talk about what's happening here. It's true that that is a true reality, that it hasn't yet left the husband's hands, but is that the most direct way to describe what's happening here? L'chaira, the more direct way to describe what's happening here is to simply say
she wasn't kona,
that she's not kona, or he is kona, right? Because so either Rashi should say that, or Rashi doesn't even need to say that. You know why? This entire part of the Rashi is l'chaira unnecessarily gamra. You know why? Because that's exactly what the Gemara says. It's exactly what the Gemara said. Those are the words of the Gemara. Kona isha kona baila. So if I was looking at Rashi and I had the opportunity to edit Rashi, you know what I would say? I would say, look, Rashi, you want to tell me leperis lishtamish, but because you're explaining to me how it is that the husband is being kind of the get, fine. How is the husband being kind of the get? Because he has the schus in the chatzer to be kind of the things that come along in the chatzer. That's called leperis lishtamish, but fine. But the rest of Rashi is confusing. The rest of Rashi is not directly explaining the Gemara. It may be giving background, it may be explaining Gishmak and Knech, but it's not giving Pashup Shah in the Gemara. So L'chaira, I don't need that. I don't need it. Do I need it? I don't need it. No. Is it maybe nice? Is it a Gishmak and Shtikl Torah for Reb Chaim? Okay, maybe. But we're not learning Reb Chaim. I don't think that would be the optimal way of explaining a Rashi over here. I'm not saying can't be, but I'm just saying it rubs me wrong. Yeah, question.
Take it back.
Okay. Good. So now, we have clarity as to what the Gemara is asking, how Rashi is explaining the Gemara, and what the Gemara exactly is doing according to Rashi. Very good, beautiful. We have a ha'ara within the wording of Rashi, and we also have a clarity on how to understand the idea of Leperis in the Rashi. Now, I want to bring from this to a very, very global and famous discussion, which a lot of you guys already did on your own, right? What did you? What was the discussion over here? The discussion's like this. Okay, what happens? It's a similar situation. It's not exactly the same. A similar situation. We're saying, Nichsei Malog, a case of she owns the property, he gets the usage of the property, right? That's Nichsei Malog. What happens? Menachem, let's say, is a girl, okay? Let's say, Menachem is a girl, and we're married, and Menachem owns a chatzar. So, what does he do? He rents the chatzar to me, right? Let's talk about a case of... I gave a case to some of you this morning. My aunt used to have horses with like a area for horseback riding, outside of the city. So let's say Menachem has horses with area of horseback riding. Why does he have horses? He likes to go horseback riding. But Menachem knows that you can really do a lot of business with horses and area for horseback riding. He's not a businessman. He knows how to have a good time and, ride horses. So he says, look, husband, do me a favor. I'm going to rent you the property and maybe make it into a very big, multi-million-dollar horseback riding facility. I say, okay, look, Menachem, I like the way you think. I like your dreams. Let's do it. So he rents it to me. So he's the woman. Remember, he's the wife, and I'm the husband. And now, after I made my millions, I say, Menachem, goodbye. And I give him a get. Now, how am I giving him the get? I'm going to put the get into the horseback riding facility, which, remember, who owns the horseback riding facility? Menachem. Yeah? But who is renting it? I am. Yeah, do they have a haror on this year? What?
Might be important.
Okay, look, if it might be important. So then I can... Yeah.
Right.
So.
This might be important too.
You hear what's going on over here. Who owns the idea over here? Yeah, we're giving the... Yeah, you hear the question? Who's is it going to be a divorce or not? Is it going to work or not? Menachem and I are married. I'm putting the get in his horseback riding facility. He owns it, but I'm renting it. Is it a good get or not? What would you say?
No.
Do we know anything about this case?
Why is that relevant?
Do we have any information about this case?
Renting something is just renting the needs. When you rent a car.
Oh, so what do you want to say?
It's the same thing as Nichsei Malog.
Oh! You want to say the same thing as Nichsei Malog, which should therefore mean, what do we know about this case?
It should work.
It should work. Why?
Because
what does it say? Because it says in the Mishnah that it works.
Yeah.
But what do we know about our Gemara?
It doesn't.
Our Gemara says that it should not work. Why should it not work? Because Mashakani Yishakana Baila. Since I am renting the property, I have the schus for the payrus, the usage of it, and therefore I should be koina the get. I'm giving Menachem the get. I should be koina it because I'm putting it into a chatzar that I have the schus to use. So it's true Menachem is the owner of the guf akarka, like Nichsei Malog. But at the end of the day, that means Mashikani Shikana Bailam, right? Very good. L'chaira, this case is exactly the same as our Gemara. Same as our Gemara. Now, our Gemara doesn't say explicitly, we're talking about this type of case, it doesn't say rent it or anything like that. But l'chaira, that's what one would conclude. Our case, this case, very similar. A lot of you mentioned already in the past that that's what you would think. So let's take a moment and take it and see what is the halacha by a rented chatzar. What's the halacha by a rented chatzar? You have a question?
Isn't when a person's renting out like a chatzar though, he's not evil. He doesn't get benefit from like if the owner wants to sell the house or not.
That's true, because the gufa chatzar belongs to, we're saying now, the gufa chatzar belongs to the owner, not the renter.
But in the case of the husband and wife,
yeah,
the husband's getting every benefit possible.
No, the halacha is that the husband also doesn't own the guf hakarka. The guf hakarka belongs to her, not him.
But he gets the money if she is he able to sell it or no?
No. Okay. Okay.
This is Nechse Malog that she now rents to him?
No, I'm giving. Yeah, wait. In this case, you mean?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't have to be Davka Nechse Malog that she's renting either. It could be a different case where it's Ein Labayla or Shusba, right? Like my example that I gave the other day.
So she buys real estate after the marriage and he has nothing to do with it.
Well, I don't know if she buys, but somebody, let's say, gives it to her right after the marriage. Exactly. That's right. That's right. Okay. So let's see. What's Taka the Halacha? What do we know about a case of a rented chatzar? Who acquires the things that are in a rented chatzar? You have a can of Coke that ends up in the rented chatzar. Who acquires it? In a way, this could even come up in yeshiva, right? Let's say somebody leaves a can of Coke. There's no simon in your room. Who? Let's say you're renting your room from the yeshiva. Who owns that can of Coke? Does the yeshiva own that can of Coke? Or do you own that can of Coke?
Renter.
That's the Shiloh. What do we know about this? Do we have any Ma'ar Makomos about this?
Yeah.
So we have a Rambam in Hilchas Chiros, Perek Vav, Halacha Hey. The Rambam says in Hilchas Chiros, what does he tell us? What's Rambam saying? Anybody saw this morning?
Yeah.
I'm talking about a case. What does he say?
That belongs to the owner.
Belongs to the owner. Lashon of the Rambam, he says that as chotzer is koine loy la'adam, chatzeri shalom koine loy shalemi daitai, afal pishi schura biyad acherim. Even if it's rented out, don't drink that can of Coke. It belongs to the Rosh Hashiva. Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it belongs to the owners of Zvil. Right? Isn't that interesting, Shiloh? They put up a sign in yeshiva that says that anything that's left here ben azmanim is going to become yeshiva property, right? Maybe that's a mistake. Maybe it doesn't become yeshiva property. Maybe it becomes Zvil's property. The owners of Zvil. I don't know who that is, but Reb Shlaima. Yeah? Maybe it belongs to Reb Shlaima. Yeah, the Zvil Rebbe. His name is Reb Shlaima. So maybe it belongs to Reb Shlaima. Maybe it's a mistake in the sign. That's what the Rambam says. Rambam says, "Chetzer shalom kol olos lomi daito apishi zchura b'yadacher." What's going on here? According to this Rambam, let's take it even further. According to this Rambam, what would be the halacha in the case of Menachem and I put the get in the horseback riding facility? Is she going to be divorced?
Yeah,
she will be, because she owns the property. She's going to be divorced. Doesn't that contradict our Gemara?
Yeah.
That contradicts our Gemara. Our Gemara says she owns the chatzar, but guess what? When he puts the get into her chatzar, she's not divorced because mashikani shekana baila. Why should that be? She should be divorced. Forget about the peiros. Forget about the schus to be kaina. She owns the guf akarka. She's like the owner of this chatzar that is being rented out. Chatzir lo shladam.
Yeah.
She should be divorced. What's the Gemara saying in our Gemara? It doesn't make sense.
The Rambam also says
our Gemara is against this Rambam.
No, the Rambam says that if, when it comes to cleaning up the garbage,
the Zevel.
If it's from the renter's animal,
yeah,
he has to clean it up. It's from,
correct.
It's from Aherim, then,
very good. Excellent.
So here it's the renter is like the husband.
Okay.
So it's his star.
So why is that going to her?
But that's not because of Mashikani Chikana Bailo. That's something else.
Right. So how should she be kind of? He's renting it.
Slow down.
Close to him.
I want to speak out of Kiva's question. It's a very good point. The Rambam does tell us...
Unless it's from a different person.
Right. The Rambam does tell us that, let's say, the owner is renting out property. He's renting out a chatzar. Okay? A cow shed. Right? And now there's manure in this cow shed. Who owns that manure? Manure is very valuable stuff. There are people that have a whole business to sell manure. It's fertilizer. It's good stuff. Right? So what are they... So who owns this stuff?
It should be called gold.
What?
It used to be gold.
Gold. Yeah? For sure, if it belonged to Rebbe, right? The Gemara says that Rebbe's zevel, Rebbe's fertilizer, that came from his animals, were more valuable than the gold and silver of neighboring non-Jewish kings.
Why? I was going on
Wilbur, too. Unbelievable. See that? So, yeah. Okay, not counting that. So, you understand?
Why?
It's a real thing. 1 second. Let's finish this. We'll talk about that. Blinada. But you hear it's a real thing, so it's a business, okay? Who is going to own the fertilizer that's now in this cow shed? So what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says that if the fertilizer came from the renter's animals, then the renter owns it. But if they came from other animals, from somewhere else, let's say animal was just, you know, going for a stroll and left some fertilizer behind, right? So who's going to own that? The owner of the chatzar, the owner of the property, the owner of the cow shed. So Zakta Kiva, okay, look, when the owner of the animal, they drop off some fertilizer over here, so then the owner of the animal, the renter, owns it, even though he's the renter. So maybe that's similar to the case of the get. The husband is a renter, he's giving it to the wife. You know why it doesn't work? Because he's the renter, he's the owner of the animals, he's the owner of the fertilizer. Right? It's the exact same thing. Very good. Excellent.
Rented?
What?
The animals rented? The animals owned by the renter.
The animals are owned by the renter. In that case, he keeps the zevel. Very good, Sushtel. Very good. But it's not the same, and I'll explain to you why. In the case of the zevel, in the case of the fertilizer, which come from the animals that are owned by the renter, in that case, the renter owns the fertilizer. Why does the renter own that fertilizer? You know why? Because his animals. And he was never trying to give it away. In our case, the husband owns the get, but he's not trying to keep the get. He's trying to give it away. So when he's trying to give it away, so then maybe the halacha is going to be that the owner of the property will be able to be kind of it. But I'm explaining to you why it's different than what the Rambam is talking about. The Rambam is talking about a case where he never tried to give it away. So it makes sense. That's why he's going to keep it. It's his. It was his from the beginning. It's remaining his the whole time. He's never trying to give it away. That's why it stays his. But if he would try to give it away, it makes perfect logical sense that the owner of the property will be koinet, which is exactly what's happening by us. I'm trying to give Menachem the get. Now he owns it, but I'm renting it from him. I'm trying to give it away. So it makes perfect sense that the chatzar, which he owns, should be able to be koinah for him. That's against our Gemara. That's against our Gemara. Our Gemara says no. That the renter is the one that has the schus to acquire it. This Rambam says no. The owner of the property has the schus to acquire it. What's going on here? So, our Gemara is against this Rambam. Yeah. Shvar. In order to answer this question, we have a Ketzayis HaChayshan. We have a Ketzayis HaChayshan. But it's not just a question from our Gemara to this Rambam. There's a stira in the Rambam himself. You know why? Because the Rambam says, in Hilchos Geirushin, Perek Hey, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says that if I rent the property to Menachem, a different case, I own the property. I'm the husband. I own the property. Well, let's say Kovi owns the property, and I'm the husband, and Menachem rents the chatzar from Kovi, and I put the get into the chatzar that Menachem is renting now. So should Menachem be divorced or not? According to the Rambam, what would you say? From what we know in the Rambam, should Menachem be divorced?
No.
The answer is no. Because what is it? The Rambam tells us that the owner of the property is the one that acquires things. So Kovi is the one that's going to acquire this get. Now, I'm not married to Kovi. I'm married to Menachem.
Yeah.
Right? Kovi's a guy. So I'm married to Menachem. So therefore, we don't understand what's happening here. Why would the Rambam say it was Gerushin, that Menachem is divorced in this case, when it's counter to what he writes in Hilchos Chiras? There's a stira in the Rambam, in Eubay. Besides for our Gemara being against the Rambam himself contradicts himself. Many Mepharshim discuss this question. We are going to discuss the Mahalach of the Ktzais HaChoshen in Tzimin Shin Yud Gimel, Sivkot and Aleph. The Ktzais says, Gevald Gevart. Ktzais says, remember, the general question on the table is, if there's a rented property, who is the one that acquires the items that are placed in this property, that are found in this property? Is it the owner of the property, or is it the renter who has the rights to use the property? Very fundamental question. We seem to have a stira about this question in the Rambam. Zok de Ktzais, you know which one? The renter. The renter is the one that has the schus to acquire everything in the property. He's the one who gets it. And that's why the Rambam says that she gets divorced. When Menachem is renting the property from Kovi, Menachem is going to be divorced. Why? Because Menachem is the renter. The renter acquires the things in the property. That's one makar that the Ktzais quotes. Another makar that the Ktzais quotes is none other than Gittin Daf Ayin Zayin Amar Aleph. What does it say in Gittin Daf Ayin Zayin Amar Aleph about this question? It says, how could the woman get divorced when the get is placed in her chatzar if Machakanti Shakana Baila? Zak the Ktzais, that's mamish a case of Menachem renting from Kovi. And what is the case? What does it say? It says that the husband is the one that's koine the get. Why? Because he has the schos peiros, like Rashi says.
What's he renting?
The Ktzais is quoting our Gemara, our Rashi, and he says it's the exact same thing as a case of renting, Menachem renting from Kovi, and therefore we see in our Gemara, with our Rashi, that the way it works is that the renter is the one who is koine the items that are placed into this chatzar. So Menachem, get packing, because you're going to be divorced when you're renting it from Kovi. Okay? So now let's just be miyashiv the stira in the Rambam, the Rambam in Hilchos Chiras, and then we'll hear Avi's question. According to this, it comes out really beautiful. The idea is that the Ktzais is really, it's not arbitrary. It's not just like he's randomly making up that the Soicher is the one that gets the Schus to acquire the items. He's not making that up. Where did he get it from? He got it from our Gemara. It's Mefurish the way we learned our Gemara in the beginning of today's shiur. So now, with that understanding, we also recognize that it's the Gemara Mefuresh that says like this, which means the Rambam in Schiros is against our Gemara. We need to answer that Rambam. Zog de Ktzais, no problem. Guys, I got it under control. Zog de Ktzais. What's that case? You got to look at the context. That case talking about where the owner owns the property and there's a cow shed over there near the property. If there's a cow shed near the property, so then that means the owner's got a whole industry of fertilizer. Okay? What's the halacha? Zok the Ktzais, look in the Rambam. What does he say about the cow shed? He says that even though he's renting out the property, but he's not renting out the cow shed. He's keeping the cow shed for himself. If that's true, you know what that means? That means that he's being mishayer. He's leaving over the schusim that relate to the cow shed for himself. Included in that is any benefits which would be similar to cow shed, which means the zevel, the fertilizer, is going to be for himself. when I rent you something, when I sell you something, I have the schus to decide what it is that I'm giving you and what it is that I'm not giving you. And I'll give you an example that came up with myself. I was actually quite surprised when I saw this. Once upon a time, there was something called a CD. I don't know if you guys heard of a CD or a compact disc. You know what a CD is? Once upon a time, there was a CD. And what people used to do was that they would take CDs and they would buy a CD. One guy would buy a CD. One guy in the whole yeshiva would buy a CD. And then he would copy it onto his computer. And then the whole block or the whole city or the whole world would download the music off of his computer without having to pay for the CD. Brilliant. So the Goyim, how they deal with this problem, I'm not going to get into right now. But the Yiddish Shikup, they have to deal with this. So Shweki put out a CD, maybe Cry No More, maybe that's what it was called. I'm trying to remember. But I opened up the jacket of the CD, and there's like a whole Gantz Megillah with Hebrew and English and everything in there. I start reading it, like, Megillah, then what's going on? It's not the songs. What is it? I start reading it. He says, this sale of this CD, I don't know, it could be it even said that it's only being rented. I don't remember, I have to double check, but you'll check it out if you have a chance, if you, any of you ever come across one of these antiques. So it says that you have this sale is only for the purpose of listening to the music, and I am not giving you the rights to copy this CD onto other thing and share with other people. You hear this? In the sale or in the whatever he called it, maybe it was a rental, I don't remember. But he's not giving over the rights to do that. Why? How not? How does that work? Because I can be mishayer for myself the rights to certain things. Zaktik tzais, that's what's happening here. When I own the chatzir, which has a cowshed in it, I am maintaining for myself, I'm retaining for myself, the schusim that relate to the zebel, to the cowshed, to the refest, I'm retaining that for myself. That's why the Rambam says what he says, that the owner is going to be kohen of the zebel. But in general, how does it usually work? The renter is the one that is going to acquire everything that comes from this chatzar. Why? Why is that so? Yes, we have a beautiful Gemara that seems to say it, our Gemara. But what's the lumdus? What's the Havana behind it? Doesn't it make more sense that the owner of the property should acquire it? Isn't that a logical argument? And even if you don't want to say that, it makes more sense, but it's at least equal. What's the pshat that the Gemara takes on that the renter is the one that gets it?
Out of business.
The pshat is, it's Meduyik and Rashi also this way. And this is exactly what the Ksais is bringing out. The renter and the owner, they are splitting their relationship with this property in two ways. The owner owns the physical property. What does the renter own?
The
renter. The usage, the gains, what there is to develop from this property, right? That's what the renter owns. So with that in mind, Zaktik Tzois, doesn't it make perfect sense? Isn't it so logical that the renter should be the one that should acquire any mitziyot, should be able to be kind of things with this property? Because the renter is the one that he paid good money to use this property. Isn't that one of the usages? One of the usages is to be able to be kind of things from here. And that's exactly what is happening. The soicher paid money to use it. He's renting it. And therefore, he has that schus to be kind of. That's the lumdus that the Ksais gives us for this. Let's make sure that now we have all the answers. We have everything clear. We had a stira in the Rambam. We had a kasha from our Gemara on the Rambam. Is the soicher kona? Is the maskir kona? Is the owner kona? Is the renter kona?
Yeah.
We see now our Gemara clearly holds. From the fact that the Gemara says the husband is the one should acquire it, our Gemara clearly holds that the one who has the schus to use it is the one who has the schus to acquire things with it. That's the soicher, the renter, which fits with the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin. Menachem is divorced. It looks like he couldn't handle it. Menachem is divorced because he is what's it called? Because he's renting the property from Kovi. He's divorced. The Rambam in Hilchos Schira says that the maskir is going to be kona with the chatzar, even if it's rented out. The maskir owns it because he owns the gufa property. That's talking about a very specific case where he was mishayer the schus for the zevel for himself. But really anything else, he would not be kona. Mm. That is how to understand so far what's happening in the Rambam, in the Gemara. Now let's just raise a kasha on this. What's the kasha on this? I'm going to read to you the words of the Rambam, and you tell me if you think that this word, these words of the Rambam are a kasha or fit with this ktsos. The Rambam says, "Shechatzeiroi shel adam koineloi sheloi midaitoi," because the chatzer of a person is koine for him without his knowledge. Even though it's rented out to other people. Does this Rambam sound like he's saying something which is specifically talking about this ukimta of Zevel? Or does it sound like he's saying something very general? Sounds like he's saying something very general, right? So if it sounds like he's saying something very general, that means that really Rambam is mashma, that it's not so pashit that the soicher requires it. Really, maybe the maskir requires it. And what we say this way or that way in the Rambam, it's a good question. But one thing is for sure, there's for sure shitos out there that hold that the maskir is going to be kone. There is for sure shitos that hold that way, even if it's not on today's Mar Makomos. The Ktzais quotes some of those Mar Makomos earlier in the piece in Shin Yud Gimel. On the paper, I just put on one specific paragraph of the Ktzais. But the Ktzais quotes other shitos that he's coming to disagree with, who hold that the owner of the property is the one who acquires it. If that's true, then we're back to square one. Then our Gemara is shver. Our Gemara is difficult. Why would our Gemara say that the husband is going to acquire the get? It's not true. The husband's not going to acquire the get. The wife is going to acquire it because she owns the property. Yeah? Okay, so in order to answer this question, I think what we're going to do is we're going to stop over here because let me just make sure. I think the Oilam did not see the Avni Melum. Did anybody see the Avni Melum? You saw the Avni Melum? Yes, but there's two different pieces on the Mar Makomos. Yeah, did everybody saw the whole Ktsos? Yeah? And the Avni Melum also? A little bit, really? Yeah, you guys saw the Avni Melum? Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do like this. I'm going to say out the Avni Melum very quickly, but Kitzer Nimrutz. And what we'll do is we'll have a chance to see it inside, Bez Hashem, and view it next time. We're in the middle of a bomb, a very major difficulty over here. You know what? Forget it. I'm not going to. Okay, we'll stop over here. We're going to do that in a moment next time. Okay? Scribe.
Rebbe, 4-1.
4-1, yeah.
That's 1-1-15. First time.